step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 887. My name is Lisa Sheps. I am flying solo today here on Offstage and On the Air on a hot Wednesday. You are listening to me on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live as we do on Wednesdays at KOOP.org.
Step right up. Whoops. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
It is Wednesday, July 29th, 2026. On the show today, we have La Fenice and Golden Silent Improv Stories and their show Speak No More, Lovecraft. Then we're going to be talking to Zaheer Productions and their show Oversight. And then later on, we're going to hear from Ground Floor Theater's GFTQ Camp and their show Foolish Dreams. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, and, I don't know, somewhere else. Sometimes I just run out of cities to say because I don't plan anything out in advance. Hi, everybody. It's Lisa Sheps. I'm here solo, but not solo. I have four lovely people here that are going to share the co-hosting duties with me. And we have here... to my left is James Gunter. Say hello.
Hello.
Who I like to call James Gunther. But that's just me. Okay, never mind. That was an inside joke, everybody. We have Nola Lafayette. Welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
Kate Meehan. Hi,
hi,
darling.
Lisa.
And Tatiana Jitkoff.
First timer here.
First timer there. Did I pronounce your name right?
You did.
Amazing. That's the first time for that, too. So we're going to talk about theater, and does anybody recognize that song that I played at the beginning of the show?
Sure mm-hmm. do.
What is it?
It's from A Chorus Line.
It is from A Chorus Line, mm-hmm. and there's a very interesting article in the newspaper of record about A Chorus Line. And there's a theater in Barrington, which is interestingly known as the Barrington Stage Company, doing a production of it, but the... it ended up, I didn't realize it was a review, but it ended up being a review of this, of the production, but it was from Helen Shaw. But it was, what attracted me to the article was A, it gave me a song to play at the beginning of the show. and two, the very first line of it, it says, how much has Chorus Line changed in 50 years or how much has it changed us? And I thought it was going to go into a lot of how Chorus Line changed the world, because Chorus Line was one of those shows like Rent, like Hamilton, mm-hmm. like Oklahoma, that changed the face of theater when Michael Bennett got a bunch of chorus people in a room together to talk about their experiences. Has everybody here seen Chorus Line?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anybody say no?
I have not.
You have not. I've only seen it once, and I saw it in New York towards the end of its original run, and it was a tired production. It was like, it reminds me like of an old rundown theater. It reminds me of the old actor in The Fantastics. It was a little scary. I look forward to one day seeing a new, fresh version of it, which I haven't done. Of course, Marvin Hamlisch, may he rest in peace, wrote the music, and the lyrics are by Edward Kleban. And much of the book is credited to James Kirkwood and Nicholas Dante. And it's interesting. So those names, are they recognizable to y'all?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, me neither. which is interesting for, you know, usually when things are associated with something that's so important in the canon, you recognize the people. But no, these people aren't. Because most of the stories were written by the... not the actors that perform them. Because did you know this? And this was in the article too, and I already knew it. But the actors, so this was, as I said, he got a whole bunch of what we called at the time, we no longer call them, we called them gypsies at the time, but chorus people, to talk about their experiences being what it was like to be on a chorus line. And he recorded these sessions, and then they wrote the piece based on that. And these actors were not given their roles.
Oh my gosh. Of course.
They had to audition.
What? Of course.
And I knew several people that were part of that original group. Among them was Wayne Cilento, who did get his part. But I found that I did not realize that he asked them to audition. So, and not everybody made the cut. And okay, so here's Chorus Line. It's changed. It revolutionized theater. It played in New York for I think 20 years before it closed the first time. And I don't know. There's been a revival. I don't think there's been a revival. So. And so the actors who put it all together get royalties. Guess what their royalty checks were typically on an annual basis?
Annual.
It's making millions of dollars.
The fact that you're even asking me makes me think it's like $28.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It absolutely is not that bad. They make about $10,000 a year.
Okay.
But if you can imagine what the royalties, what like 0.5% of Hamilton would be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, crazy.
But, I mean, Chorus Line is slightly easier to produce in a community theater setting than Hamilton.
Tis true. Mm-hmm. Tis true. I don't know if we've done it here in Austin.
We haven't
seen an Austin production. Mm-mm. Did maybe Summer Stock may have done it one
No,
year.
And I think I was just thinking that, like, that this is ripe for a Summer Stock. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see those incredible dancers doing, yeah.
Well, Helen Shaw, the New York Times, who wrote this, is not as crazy about the piece as others are, and says it doesn't age well and it was rather dated. She also wasn't crazy about this production. But they recreated the original choreography that Michael Bennett did, which I did not realize he created it with Bob Avion originally. And she basically says it doesn't really work that well. Done in the Barrington stage, it was set in the 70s, evidently, but she sort of noted that on stage were water bottles, like there was Stanley water bottles, which we did not have in the 70s. But that was Chorus Line. And all of that, 7 minutes worth of talk, was to play that one song. All right.
I think it was worth it.
Yeah. I mean, musical theater history. I learned something new.
How do we feel about Hadestown?
I love Hadestown.
You loved it? There's one love.
I actually haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it twice. It's actually come through town here twice.
Yes.
And I think it hinges a lot on the performances. So like the first time I saw it, I was like, I get it. I get why people are really into it. And the second time I saw it, I was like, oh, I get it. Like, and I think those performances are really critical.
So that's very interesting. I've only seen it the first time it came through. I wasn't able to go to the second one. And I went, I don't see what all the hype is about.
Yeah.
And it didn't, I was like, you know, you don't go to see Hadestown for the story because it's widely known. Mm-hmm. So there's no surprises on the story.
Yeah.
And I thought the music was okay. Anyway, you may or may not, and you would have your opportunity, Kate Meehan, to see it right now in movie theaters because there was a pro tape of it done with the original cast in London, and it started playing around the country on the 24th of July. It was set to play 5 days, but it did so well, it broke so many records that it was extended. And when I heard that, and they were saying, you can check your local listings to see if it was extended in your town, I said, well, Austin's not going to be on that. But no, you have another week to see it.
Really?
Where's it playing?
It's playing all over the place. Oh, you know what? I didn't print out the thing. But if you go to Fandango or one of those other sites, you can see where it's playing.
Great. Sharky's actually a big fan of Hadestown.
Yeah, so you can see the original. And I wanted to do that, and I still may, because I still want to see what all the hype is about. And, you know, all the road shows, as you and I have seen the road show, they tend to be slightly scaled down. And I know that Hades on Broadway was underground. And if you remember here in Austin, it was upstage.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there is no underground. Right. And then I don't remember, Did they have the swinging lamps in Austin?
They did.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that I thought was really neat is that Hadestown, my understanding is that they are really flexible with their casting. They don't go for, we want someone who sounds like this. Right. And we'll only cast someone who looks like this or sounds like this in this role. And so what I loved doing when I went back and saw it a second time and saw how it shifted from cast to cast, I went back and listened to the soundtracks from other productions of it and hearing how different performers interpreted the music. And that got me more excited about it.
I will say that the young man and the one I saw here who played, is it Persephone? The basically the leading man.
Oh, the
Orpheus.
Orpheus. Yeah. Like butter. He's so beautiful. I could have listened to him all day. So, I mean, there are things about it I really, really loved. This was the original and the film was directed by Rachel Chavkin, who I think is a genius. That's just my thing. And I did not realize this. This was shot by a company called Steam. And this was a company that they've now done a whole bunch of theater captures, which is a skill unto itself. Totally. The Merrily We Roll Along tape. Did anybody else see that?
I haven't seen.
Okay, I'm going to say this. Don't bother.
It's not one of my favorite shows.
I liked it. After seeing this, I liked it less. But the reason why I didn't like it is that they didn't treat it like a show capture. They had no long shots. So you never knew you were on a theater. The whole thing was done in one and two shots. You never really saw the whole stage. You didn't feel like you were watching a pro tape. You felt like you were watching a movie. And then even at the very end, when it gets to the final bows, I was thinking, oh, okay, they'll pull back and we'll see. They didn't even do that.
Weird.
They just went to credits over some other thing. It was awful. But this company does pro tapes. And I remember the first pro shot that I saw that I really thought was worthy of the show, it made it feel like you were seeing theater, but it was good, was Memphis. So if you ever get the chance to see Memphis, which I think it's available on streaming services, well worth seeing.
Mine was Come From Away, which I think is on streaming.
And yes, it is.
And I watch that probably twice a year. Because
Come From Away is a great example. Did you see it in live as well?
I saw it live in New York with an original cast. I've seen it come through town. It's probably my favorite musical.
They're doing it at Zach.
Yes, they are.
I'm so excited to see it. I'm also so afraid to see it because at this point I'm very infused with attached to like.
Yeah.
But I think the show itself holds its own well enough that you can see different interpretations of it still hold itself because this show isn't dependent on the execution alone.
Right. Here's what I think about Come From Away. I love it live. I thought the pro tape was good, but it didn't capture that feeling that you see when you see it live. And I think it's almost a flawless show. Mm-hmm. To me, it's the kind of show that almost, and please don't write me, I think almost anybody can do it because the show's just got so much energy and the way it's put together is amazing. Has everybody seen it? Okay, your homework is to see it.
Yeah. I'll have a watch party at my house.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good one. Anyway, this company, Steam, they used to do music promotion and music videos. That's what their thing was. And they got hired to do this. And now that they are the quintessential producer of these things.
And they did the Hadestown, you said?
Yes.
The thing about Hadestown for me that I love is it's all about spectacle. The spectacle is so much, and all of those characters are mythological figures, so they're interpreted is fascinating, like you were saying, Tatiana. But you can make them as big as you want, or they can be interpreted smaller, which to me I think is the more boring option, but
we love a spectacle.
I also so Hadestown, and we talked about this I think in last week's show, I didn't realize there was something that came out that Les Mis is now open for, the rights are now available for people to produce it. And I didn't realize they hadn't been out yet, but they, Les Mis and Hadestown, they allow high schools to produce it, but not adults. Mm-hmm. I've seen 3 high school productions of Hadestown. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, some of them were pretty good.
Yeah, the kids like to do right. that. Mm-hmm. And they love Eurydice as well. They love doing Sarah
yeah,
Rule.
The Sarah Rule, yeah.
Yeah. Game of Thrones, do we like?
Yes.
Sure.
Are we all watching current season of House of Dragons?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I can't sit down for TV. Like the last, I used to be able to, but about a year ago, I just get antsy. Mm. Like I can read a terrible book for hours, but.
Oh, that's interesting.
30 minutes of TV. We're, as part of our source material, we've been watching Widow's Bay as a cast. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible. 30 minutes into every episode, I have ants in my pants. I need to get up and start doing dishes or something.
And we stay up until the wee hours watching. We binge yeah. that show.
Everyone's trying to keep me from getting spoiled on it. They've been really kind.
Well, the interesting thing about today, I don't know if your TV, but my TV has a pause button.
I know. I make judicious use of it.
So there was a theater production that I did not even know, based on the Game of Thrones, called The Mad King.
Oh,
did y'all know about this?
No,
I didn't either. And you know, if Nicole were here, she would tell me, Lisa, we talked about this, but I can never remember anything. So everything is new to me always.
That's great.
It's a Royal Shakespeare Company. It's going to launch. Mm-hmm. They were set to start their previews last Monday on the 20th, but they canceled them.
Because of dragons?
Because of dragons. No, they said, and I'm quoting the article here, and I'm actually quoting the producers. Quote, we can confirm that RSC, Riverside Shakespeare Company, and our co-producers took the difficult decision to cancel preview performances of George R.R. Martin's Game of Thrones, The Mad King, this week, and that we are going ahead with the performance on Saturday, the 25th of July. A rep for the RSC told Variety, we can also confirm that production will officially open on August 8th. They wanted to delay the first preview to allow the actors, creative, and technical teams the additional time necessary to produce it.
Tech week, man.
Tech
It'll
week.
Getcha. It'll
One
getcha.
Could assume that I...
Dragons.
Yeah, dragons.
Did George R.R. Martin write the script for this show?
You know, that's a very good question. It's adapted... No. Adapted by Duncan MacMillan and directed by Dominic Cook.
Makes sense. I feel like the skill set for writing for the stage is very different than for writing epic,
100%,
multi-thousands of pages of book.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. We have totally run out of time with what we were going to talk about. But, darn it. And I spoke to my friend Patty, who told me how to pronounce this person's name, who I know quite well, but I can never pronounce his last name, because I know her as Rebecca Havermeyer. Or Christine, do y'all know?
Oh.
It's Paul Soileau. I'm sorry, Paul. But he is opening on Broadway. He is the understudy to Luke Evans at the Rocky Horror Show.
That's so awesome.
And he is going on, August 2nd. August 2nd, 9th, 16th, and 18th. And evidently he is performing... he said every night in September. So I love it when I see local people do really, really
yeah.
well.
Do you know what role?
Frankenfurter.
Oh, yeah. Luke Evans.
Yes. I know.
Oh, playing a killer Frankenfurter.
That's so great.
Isn't that amazing?
That's incredible.
So I emailed him today and said, Paul, I don't know if you remember me. I'm Lisa from Austin. He emailed right back. Said, oh my God, Lisa. He was great. When I did, I forgot the name of the show. The LGBTQ show here on Co-op Radio. He was a constant guest, but he would come in his persona of Christine or Rebecca Havermeyer. And they are both of those women are hot messes, yeah. if you know them. Just yep. hot messes.
Yeah.
All right. We don't have time to talk about anything else, but I do need to talk about Moulin Rouge. I'm guessing you've seen Moulin Rouge. I'm
yes.
only guessing that because mm-hmm. I'm thinking you go to see Broadway in Austin.
I do the whole membership thing.
I was unable to see Moulin Rouge and I really wanted to. And I love the movie.
I love the movie.
Some people don't.
I love it.
Yeah.
Those people are weird.
I agree. Like the spectacles. So well, bring me
it
the
is
spectacle.
Closing on August 30th, I think. August 31st. Is there a 31st?
Yeah.
30 days, says September. Yeah. Okay. So the original... Christian is... Oh, it is closing on August 30th. The original Christian was Aaron Tveit, who left it, I think, to do Chess, but he was also in Chess. He is coming back to perform it from August 18th through to 29th. And here's what I think is interesting. The person that's doing it now, his name is Christian Douglas. He's going to come and do the final performance.
That's what I was going to ask. Who's doing that very last show? That's strange. Yeah.
So I think that's interesting. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to listen to your song from Moulin Rouge. We'll hear a little bit of Aaron Tveit singing, and we'll be back with our guests talking about the reason why they're actually here. We'll be right back.
So excuse me for getting...
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and my cadre of guests. And now we're going to reintroduce the folks I've already introduced you to for the real reason why they're here. And that is to talk about La Fenice and Golden Silent Improv stories, Speak No More, Lovecraft. We have Kate Meehan, who is the artistic director and founder of La Fenice. Hi, Kate.
Hi. I mean, founder is a big capital word. There were a bunch of us. Founding member.
And my founding member. All right. You're an FM.
Sure.
And a couple of the performers from the show, Nola Lafayette. Hi, Nola.
Hi.
And Tatiana Jitkoff.
Hello.
And we're, look, my favorite role in theater, because it's my background, is the stage manager is here, James Gunter.
That's me.
I almost called you Winter because my G looks like a W. My G-U looks like a W. Anyway.
Gunther, Winter, I'll really respond to anything here.
Is there anybody, I did not realize until I was writing this up, that it is co-produced by Golden Silent Improv Stories. Mm-hmm. Is anybody representing this organization?
Tatiana actually stubs in quite a bit for Golden, but actually now that I'm looking around, Golden actual. Right. Well, I'm in Golden as well, so I guess me. Okay. I'm in both.
All right. Well, good. So somebody tell me about the. You are also the director of the piece, correct,
I
Kate?
I am.
Are you in it?
I'm in it too. Okay. All the hats. It's just
so
a pile.
Easy to direct and be in shows.
Mm-hmm. It's the easiest.
Simple, easy to do. Tell us about the show.
Well, this show, this is our fifth performance of this improv format that is very loosely based on the Sleep No More show back in Manhattan that's since closed.
Which I never got to see.
It went for a long time and it was really cool. It kind of, you know, kind of ate its own tail towards the end when you run a show that long, mm-hmm. you know, it tends to kind of dissolve at the end. But we were really inspired as a company to look at just what it's like to be able to pick your path as a audience member. So our very first one that we did, Tatiana and I were both in, kind of took Shakespearean tragedies. And the story is we all know our relationships going into it and the audience hands us a secret. And then we have 30 minutes to improvise a story. And then and the audience can follow us around an immersive space. But then we duplicate that improv three times. So
loops, to the best, they say
loops.
To the best of our ability, because it is still improv.
So that means every single night it's different. We discover new things about the format every time we do it. That first one was Shakespearean tragedy. We did one kind of set in the 20s at the historic Neil Cochran House. We did one about witches at the historic Haskell House, one of the last standing Friedman structures in Clarksville. We did one last fall at the Independence Brewery, the first female-owned brewery in Austin, in an abandoned lab back there, and that was kind of a thing.
Creep.
Cool.
That was really fun. But
it's like
this
80s science lab. Creep. Very different vibe from any of the other seasons we've done
the
so far.
Thing and Alien. Think all those things put together in this abandoned space.
But this one, we weren't planning on doing another show this quickly, but we'd been talking to Shannon Sedwick, who owns Esther's Follies, and they also own the tavern. And that second floor, they wanted to get another show up there because they often do a murder mystery up there. And they said, hey, do you want to do it? You know, we're usually slow right before football season starts. And, you know, if someone's going to ask me to do a show in a haunted tavern with some of my favorite people in town, I messaged the gang and they were like, absolutely, let's do it. So
great. So so this is based on Lovecraft.
Mm-hmm.
It's murdery, murder-esque.
It can happen.
It could be. It's more, I mean, it's H.P. Lovecraft, so it's more about a creeping madness that may involve murder.
That was my sorority name in college.
Yeah, mine too.
That about us.
Yeah, the general idea is that a surprise summer squall has kind of forced some people into the tavern for safe refuge, and there are artifacts in there, and there's a great convergence, and then everything.
So if I'm going to come in and I go to the tavern, I go upstairs. First of all, you said that the audience provides what?
A secret.
So do I, am I asked for a secret and then you choose it out of a hat? How do you get
the
secret?
James.
Yeah. So there, yeah.
That's James, where James comes in, the stage manager. Explain yourself,
so,
James.
The first, let's say about a dozen, our number of players varies night by night, but about 12 cards that have secrets printed on them will be in play. So if you're one of the first dozen audience members to arrive, you'll draw one of these cards. And then just before the show begins, as the show is beginning, the card holders will assign those secrets to the players who are lined up. So until that moment, they don't know what their secret is. They incorporate it very quickly, and away we go.
But the secrets are pre-written.
Yes. Yeah, yes. We're very careful about how we select the secrets because especially given
trouble.
We really could. And also, I think... especially as they've evolved over the years, we've kind of figured out a way to choose secrets that leave room for the performer to interpret them in different ways. I'm not sure if we want to actually name any of them or we want to.
Well, I would like an example. Okay. So each actor gets a secret.
Each actor gets a secret. So for example, you know, one person could walk in as the mayor so we could get the right costume on and be handed the secret that they're a prophetic dreamer. So now I'm the mayor, but I also have dreams that are suddenly coming true. One of the secrets that's changed over the years, the very first time we did it, one of the secrets was murderer, which, you know, has a connotation to it that's a little...
And it's hard to play if you're doing this in silent format.
Yeah.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
Y'all don't do this using words.
Not at all. Entirely silent. Well, Finiche is a physical theater thing. Well, yeah, let's play. Let's shut up and let our bodies do the talking.
Okay. So that's fascinating.
Yeah. Difficult.
I would assume. I'm my little tiny itsy imagination is wreaking its head feeling that I want to go see this so I can figure out how you do it.
Yeah. I mean, the cast is awesome. Like, as a director, every time I get involved with this, I'm just floored at just not just the performers, but James, quarterbacks, a crew of five. We call them shadows, but that we talked about how we do the show three times. There's a 3-minute break in between each cycle where we have improvised moving props all over the space. They could go anywhere.
Things get dropped. Things get
like 100 props could be anywhere in the space. And it's their job to reset the space back to one in 3 minutes.
Oh,
it's timed.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's crazy. And just crazy. Watching that like efficiency tornado is its own work of art. These guys are hardest working people in showbiz.
Indeed.
So we operate in zones. Each one of us has kind of an area to monitor, but that has to overlap, obviously. If something leaves your zone and goes into another zone, it's a little ambiguous about like which of the shadow crew is going to be responsible for that. So we work very much as a team. We're having an experience very similar to the audience because it's improvised.
Sure.
We don't know what's going to happen. So we have to have a pretty keen sense of narrative priority. If Kate kills Nola with a knife, that knife needs to be back where Kate found it during the next run. If two characters are playing chess and we don't get around to resetting that, and they're playing dominoes in the next go around, that's not story dependent. So we have to be very just very, very on the fly. Yeah.
What if Kate kills Nola with a rope in the drawing room?
Make it back to the drawing room. Otherwise, I'm going to have to use someone's necktie.
The prop placement is already set. That's something that is given. So at least you can rehearse that. So in rehearsal, do the shadows close their eyes and people move all the props around and say, okay.
They watch everything very, very closely.
Yeah, it's fun too, because as we're ending a cycle, often we'll be passing like, I'd kick my shoes off in the yard. I'm really sorry.
I might have done that one time. Kicked my shoes off in the yard.
That sorry. Sounds absolutely amazing. How many performers are there in this one?
Well, there are a total of 16 performers.
Varies from night to night.
Yeah, it varies from night to night.
Yeah, typically on average, it's usually about 10 to 12 in a night. Some nights we're lucky to have 13. Some nights it's
8 and it's exhausting.
Efficient.
Yes, 8 is hard.
8's really hard.
But I've always felt that 8 was hard.
Yeah.
Some people think 8 is enough.
Yeah.
For those of you old enough, that's a television reference.
Van Patten?
Who is Dan Van Patten. Exactly. I was a big Eight is Enough fan.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Regarding Reset, when we were doing the witch scene, you had Jordan Maxwell on, I think, recently on the show. And Jordan's in the cast. And the two of us were playing chess. And his character got angry because I think his secret was he had anger issues or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he gets mad and he just whooshes all of the playing pieces off the table, and it was outdoors in mulch
at night.
In my brain was thinking, oh my God. And Jordan's eyes got real big when he looked at me because he realized the same thing. So in his anger, he's madly picking up the pieces, resetting them, knowing that James will kill him if he does it.
This was also the week after they were burying things in the yard. So they're like, we buried things in the yard. I think it's somewhere by the oak tree. I'm sorry.
Well, this is amazing. We had wanted to do a scene that we, a little bit we figured out. We don't have time to do it.
No.
But basically, this was what the scene was going to sound like. Get it? All right. Anyway, we're running out of time. I had a very important clarifying question that totally escaped my mind. How many audience members per night?
So we're starting off with like 40 just to make sure, because it's immersive and it's a new space you haven't performed in before. We want to make sure that everything is safe because everybody has the run of the space, and we may add more if it feels like we can accommodate more.
Now, I know one of the things that happened with Sleep No More in New York was when they first came in, and folks that know Sleep No More, you are required to wear a mask when you go through it. But they started it first, they did not require the mask and it didn't work. And they had to, do you do something like that?
Yeah, we have little masquerade masks that we sanitize in between each one. That is important.
Of course you do.
Because it's gross if you don't.
Because you're responsible.
If you're using masks, please sanitize your masks. I went to a mask workshop last summer and everyone got pink eye because they weren't sanitizing masks.
Oh, no.
We sanitize our masks. But yeah, everyone has a cool little masquerade mask. So selfies at the show always look really cute because everyone's got a great mask.
And that helps us because as performers, like we are, again, immersed in the people. And so if we're trying to scan the room to figure out what's going on in our stories. Mm-hmm. It helps us kind of filter out the audience. So the audience just kind of disappears into the background.
Yeah, because they can be anywhere. They can be over your shoulder watching you write a note. They can be watching the way you tie your shoe. I mean, people get...
Sounds like
close.
Our government.
Yeah.
Well, great. So you open tomorrow night, did you say?
We open on Friday.
Friday. And you play till when?
Till August 23rd.
Right. Yes. And you were at the Tavern. Where can folks go to get more information about this show?
PastaSquad.org.
Okay. Not LaFeniceAustin.org?
Both are easy, but if you don't speak Italian, it's easier to spell PastaSquad than Fenice.
Okay, great. Well, thank you all so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
And being such lovely co-hosts.
Happy to do it.
Wonderful. That was Kate Meehan, Nola Lafayette, Tatiana Jitkoff, and James Gunter, all of La Fenice and Golden Silent Improv Stories, production of Speak No More, Lovecraft, playing the 31st of July through August 23rd at the Tavern. For more information, you may visit LaFeniceAustin.org or Squat Squat.
Squid Squat. You know what? We're going to change it. It's going to be Squat Squat now. PastaSquad.org.
PastaSquad.
We like pasta.
And I just went through thinking about the loops that y'all do. This is from the musical Preludes, and it is Loops. We'll be right back. I got my mind on most of the time. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa today, flying solo. It's so scary. We have a jam-packed show. I'm going to blast through the local section, and I'm just going to give you the thing. And we are not doing Today in Theater History today because not much happened. That's it. So there you go. At Zach Theater, we have Annie through August 2nd and Sally and Tom through August 23rd. The Stage Austin, last weekend to see Fool for Love through August 2nd. TexArts got Rock of Ages through August 9th. Zahir Productions, you're going to hear them soon. Their show Oversight runs July 30th. Through August 22nd at Hyde Park Theater. City Theater's got Midsummer Night's Dream playing through the 9th of August. Summerstock Austin, Cinderella is playing through the 9th of Austin, and Newsies is coincidentally also playing through the 9th of Austin. Both of those are at McCullough Auditorium. La Fenice, we just heard from them. They've got Speak No More, Lovecraft. Sounds like a lot of fun. Plays the 30th of July through the 22nd of August at the Tavern. Dad Hole Productions, we're going to have them on the show next week. They are playing a show called Dad Hole by Dad Hole Productions. It's true. August 6th through the 9th at Dada Labs. Broad Theater's got Falling Down the Mountain of Great Storms playing August 14th through the 29th. Summer Break Theater, you'll hear from them next week. Their show Midnight plays August 6th through the 16th, The Stage Austin. And The Vortex, last chance to see Summer Underground. They're playing through August 8th. Some of the auditions we have, Speedrun Studios has got Little Women, the play, not the musical, on July 24th. Walking Shadow Shakespeare has Henry IV, Part 1, auditioning on August 2nd. Scottish Rite Theater, Judy Moody and Stink, The Mad Treasure Hunt, auditions August 7th and 8th. Penfold Theater is auditioning for Steel Magnolias on the 23rd. Oh, boy, that was a lot of talking. All right, so since we don't have theater history today, I chose to play, coming out of this, from Little Women, the musical. Nope, that's not it. Hold on. I'd be delighted. We'll be right back.
I'd be delighted when you go.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, flying solo today. We've had a change of guard here in the studio. We have our friends from the Zaheer and their show Oversight, which will be playing at Hyde Park Theater. We have the artist director, founder, the guru of the Zaheer, LBDO.
Hi, LBDO.
LBDO. Well, I knew I had 50% chance of getting that right. LBDO. Sorry.
No problem.
But if it was Deo, we could sing the song.
We could, but it's not, so we won't.
But we might do
and
it anyway.
We can't. Okay.
And we can't. Okay. There are copyright issues. We have the director of this piece, Marcus McCorder. Hi, Marcus.
Hey, Lisa.
And finally, one of the performers, Dan Umara.
Don Umara.
Don Umara.
Hi.
You think I would know that?
Nah.
Yeah, whatever. LB, what is the show Oversight?
Oversight is a closed door thriller, which is a sort of like 12 Angry Men or And Then There Were None, where it takes, well, not like And Then There Were None, but 12 Angry Men, where it takes place in a single room, in a single scene. The entire play is self-contained that way, sort of locks the audience in as a bunch of political leaders and corporate leaders meet to discuss a consequential technology and the fate of the human race.
Okay. Oh, so this is not the government oversight committee.
It is the government oversight committee.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Okay. Fascinating. Did you take stuff from what actually happened?
No, it's not that much ripped from the headlines, but it definitely has a lot of contemporary relevance, and it's quite dramatic and scary and also funny.
I just want to go on record as saying I was going to say ripped from the headlines.
Okay, well.
But I didn't.
I copied.
But I could have said it. I like ripped from the headlines. Marcus, you're the director of this piece.
Yes, I am.
Okay, thanks for being on the show. No, that was a joke. tell us how you're approaching this.
Probably the easiest way you can as a director, you get a good cast, you get a great script, and then you get into the rehearsal room and let everybody work. And as a director, do your best to stay out of the way.
Yep, that's, thank you. That's my theory of doing things. I keep telling people that and they just don't buy it. LB, did you write it?
Yes, I did.
Excellent. How was that?
It was very exciting. I was actually watching a YouTube video, and it was such an interesting topic that I realized as I was watching the video that it was going to be my next play. And I turned off the video at the end, and I wrote a first draft of the play. It took me about 2 hours.
What was the YouTube video, I must ask?
Well, it was about a consequential and dangerous new technology.
Uh-oh. I don't want to say anything.
I don't know if you know anything about hypersonic weapons.
Oh, I do. My family used to vacation at hypersonic weapons.
Oh, yeah. It's a lovely spot by the shore. Yeah. And that's what the play is about. An oversight committee meets at a beach resort.
Talking about hypersonic weapons.
Yes.
So, Danu, what do you play?
I play Representative Erin Johnston, who is also Madam Chair.
Okay. Representative from where?
That's
what,
a great,
with the great state of fill in the blank.
I said Minnesota. I'm from Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You didn't seem convinced.
I know.
Yeah, maybe Minnesota. Or as we like to say, Minnesota.
Minnesota. I like to leave it up to the audience.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's not explicit.
Yeah.
All right. But are others explicitly? So the Oversight Committee is a committee of the House of Representatives. So I'm guessing the entire cast are congresspeople?
We have members from the House. We have the executive branch. We have the armed forces. And then we have some corporate attendees.
Oh, some corporate people.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Tell us about your character. What's the congressperson's deal? What are they doing?
Erin's just trying to run the show, and everybody who's in attendance is very poorly behaved, in my opinion.
That just doesn't seem right. Our Congress poorly behaved?
I know.
Doesn't make sense to me.
I know. So I have a gavel, and I threaten people.
And you use it. So we're in a conference room. Can I just guess that the set is a table and chairs?
Pretty close.
Okay. Something like
that. Do we ever leave the conference room?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nobody goes in, nobody comes out.
Mm-mm. And you will stay in this theater till we get this thing worked out.
Exactly right. And the audience is invited to stay or to be forced to stay.
Okay. LB has reinvigorated the neoclassical ideal.
Lovely. And Danu, you're going to do a little piece from this, correct?
Yeah, it's an opening speech telling everybody what's up.
Okay. So this is Danu Mara doing a monologue from the Sayers Oversight at Hyde Park Theater.
Okay, good morning. Today's special hearing of the Special Joint Oversight Committee session entitled Hypersonic Weapons Countering Russia's Emerging Capabilities will come to order. I recognize myself for the purpose of making an opening statement. This committee was formed at the request of the White House, but will be conducted under congressional auspices as agreed. As this is the first meeting of this committee, I'm going to start things off with an overview of the extraordinary security procedures we're requiring of each member. I'm going to follow that up with a related disclosure about the committee's mission. You should already be aware of most of this, but I'll try to read these directives into the record. First of all, this is going to be a no-communication session. Absolutely no personal communication with the outside. No personal electronic devices. No phones. No cameras. No laptops. There will be no record of this meeting. No tape. No digital file. Nothing at all other than what good old Miss Cromwell there jots down on her trusty stenotype machine. So, no electronics. No digital recording. No other kinds of recording. You all should have surrendered your phones as you entered, laptops, whatever, and you can't leave and come back. Nothing goes in or out of this room. Nobody comes in, nobody leaves.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, my gosh. Sounds fun, and then chaos ensues. Well, wonderful. How many in the cast?
It's a cast of 9.
Okay.
And we are extremely pleased to have the people we have, terrific actors. Can we name them?
Yes, please. I was going to put you on the spot, but some people don't like, I see you're not holding notes, so let's see how you do.
We have 4 people returning from our last production, which was Apprehension. So Danu is one of them, along with Brent Wersner, Jessica Cohen, and Justin Smith. We also have the great Robert Pearson, the great Rommel Sullet. We have terrific Laura DiRamo. We have David Kroll. We have Janelle Buchanan. We have, who else?
I'm going down the list.
I think that might be
that's
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And a little VO by our director.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, with
you,
a little
You
cameo.
Couldn't hear it because she wasn't on the microphone. There's a VO by Marcus McWhorter.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you might get a B.I.D. Payne Award for that.
Yes, indeed.
You know what?
We're counting on it.
The B.I.D. Payne's that keep adding awards, they should add a VO award.
I love that idea.
I actually think as someone that does a really fun curtain speech, they should have a curtain speech award.
100%.
Well, it's amazing. We're running out of time.
Oh, no.
I was hoping to have time just to talk about the Zaire.
Yes.
Which is, and I keep saying Zaire Productions, but it's the Zaire.
The Zaire, yes.
Zaire. Mm-hmm. Okay. We don't have time to talk about it, but it's a relatively new company, correct?
That's right. It's brand new. This is our first major production.
Yeah, Mazel Tov.
And we're selling tickets for Oversight right now, and that would be at oversight-play.com. We also have the Zaire.org as our website for the Zaire, and it's a very exciting. We have our schedule put together. We're going to do another show in called The Egg in October, November, and we have some other stuff planned for the year that's going
to
be great.
Great. And if folks want to go to the Zaire.org, there's a lovely introduction video, which I think it does a good job of giving me, I think I have a good feel of the piece by watching that video.
I think that's at oversightplay.com.
I saw it.
I saw it
out there.
So. Oh, cool. I didn't realize it was on there.
I don't believe I ever navigated to oversightplay.com.
Okay.
My fingers don't do that. I don't know. But thank y'all so much for being on the show. Oh, when do you open?
We open tomorrow. Okay. July 30th, Thursday, July 30th.
And you play through?
We play through August the 22nd.
22nd. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. All right, I have the 12th. I'm going to change that right now. Okay, great.
Showtime,
well, thank you.
7:30.
Thank you so much at the Hyde Park Theater.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you,
great,
Lisa.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Lisa. This was terrific.
Thank you. This was LB Dio, Don Umara, and Marcus McWhirter, all of the Zaire's Oversight, playing the 30th of July through August 22nd at Hyde Park Theater. For more information, you may visit the Zaire. .org. I didn't write it down. I'm looking over to make sure I said it right. And this just seems to be the right song to play. This is The Room Where It Happens. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. I am sitting in the Ground Floor Theater right now. It's Wednesday morning, and I am sitting with the campers of GFT Q Camp, and I'm so excited to let them introduce themselves and who they are, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what they're doing at Ground Floor Theater. So we're going to start, and I'm pointing at you, even though my radio audience can't see it.
Okay. Hi, I'm Dorian.
I am William.
I'm Kaz.
I'm Cozy.
I'm Zoe.
I'm Asher.
I'm Quinn.
I'm Cade.
I'm August, and...
August.
Yeah.
You have the microphone, so I'm going to pick on you. Here at GFTQ Camp, you guys wrote and really produced and everything your own show. Can you tell us that show is going to be happening on Saturday? Can you tell us about that show?
Yeah, it's a medieval tragedy about a princess and a jester, and, well...
That's
I don't
want
to spoil anything. So, yeah, that's
basically
don't
want to spoil anything.
What it's about.
Dorian, you wanted to say something a second ago. What was that?
We're also missing one of our campers right now. He's coming with his dog a little later. His name is Neptune, and he's a very good actor.
He is wonderful. And do we know his dog's name?
I don't.
I think
Marcel is his dog. Wonderful. So, what do you play in the show?
I play the princess. Okay. I love her. She's a very nice role to play. She has a lot of layers, and I personally enjoy playing her.
Does it give anything away to talk about the relationship that we're talking about in this play?
We can talk about the dynamic of it, maybe not some of the specifics.
Can you do that?
So the princess, she is sort of chafing against her restrictions and expectations as a princess, and she finds freedom in talking to the jester, because the jester is someone new and someone who she hasn't talked to before, and it's sort of like that, I don't know if this term is exactly right, but limerence of like a new relationship, even though it's just a friendship between them for most of the show. And it's like they are enamored with each other. It's like very puppy love.
Wonderful. So really quickly, I want to go around the circle. We just learned that you're playing the princess. Can we go around the circle and say who everybody is playing?
I am playing castle attendant number 2, and I'm also playing one of the executioners.
And that is William. So tell us your name, too, so our listeners know who we're talking to.
I'm Kaz, and I'm playing the lady-in-waiting.
I'm Cozy again, and I'm playing the advisor to the prince.
I'm Zoe, and I get the honor to play the jester.
I'm Asher, and I play barkeep.
I'm Quinn, and I play the guard.
I'm Cade, and I also play one of the castle tenants and an executioner.
I'm August, and I play the king.
Okay, we're kind of running out of time, but I want to do one thing. Oh, yes, and Neptune is where I think you were going. Who's Neptune playing?
And Neptune, he plays the prince.
He plays the prince. I want to give the microphone over here to Quinn C., because it just, as we went through the cast list, I just wanted, this is our third year doing Q Camp, and we have a character that I believe you originated.
That is correct.
Has made an appearance in every Q Camp show so far. Can you tell us about that character?
Yeah, that character is Barkeep, and I've played him the past 2 years, and honestly, it's amazing that I get to hand them off to Asher. Asher plays him really well, and I think he'll do a great job.
Wonderful. I, as someone that has been part of Q Camp every year, and hope to see Barkeep when we celebrate our 25th anniversary of doing Q Camp. Well, great. So let's hand the microphone to somebody else. Let's give it right over here. Tell us, you're performing this for the public, right?
Yes, we are.
When does that happen?
It happens this Saturday at 7:30.
Amazing. Where?
At Ground Floor Theater.
Ground Floor Theater. And y'all wrote this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So how did that feel? Let's hand the microphone down to whoever else wants to hand it. How did it feel to write your own show?
It was a very exhilarating process, being able to hear my peers and their ideas.
Amazing. That's wonderful. And we have one more person.
I think it was pretty darn fun.
PDF, we call that in the business. Well, listen, you guys, I am so excited to show Q Camp 2026 to the public on Saturday night at 7:30 at Ground Floor Theater. I'll tell folks right now that they can get information about this at groundfloortheater.org/QCamp26 or just click the link on the homepage. Thank you guys so much for joining us on Offstage and on the Air. Can you say something to everybody together, like, come see the name of the show? Foolish Dreams. 1, 2, 3.
Come see Foolish Dreams!
Amazing. Thank y'all. That was the campers from GFTE's Q Camp. They will be presenting Foolish Dreams at Ground Floor Theater on Saturday at 7:30.
Well,
for more information, you may visit groundfloortheater.org.
They all lived happily, happily, happily ever after. The couple is happily leaving the chapel eternally tied.
We are back. Those campers, I realized that the audio on my microphone wasn't all that good. We hastily put that together today over at the camp. But it's a wonderful sight to see these kids and all the work they're doing in this show. And so you can get information at groundfloortheater.org about this show. It's really wonderful. They call themselves the Righteous Q-Tips. Get it? Q-Tips. Anyway, we're almost out of time, but I did want to take one moment to acknowledge we had a really tragic loss of somebody in our community. Lynn Beaver passed away 2 nights ago, quite unexpectedly, and we miss her. Lynn was a huge supporter of the theater community here. She was a stage manager. She was a performer. I had just seen her a few days before, and she will be missed. I don't know anybody that doesn't think of Lynn with fondness and respect. So, Lynn, rest in power wherever you are, and my heart is with your family, and I know the whole theater community shares that sentiment. So, bless you for what you did for us. You will leave a pretty big hole in the Austin theater community. So rest in peace. And so that's it. So That is it for Ground Floor. And sorry, that is it for Offstage and On the Air. We're going to leave you with a song from Murder at the Gates. This is Issa Briones. This is a studio album for something that is hopefully coming into New York. And I think you will enjoy it. So we are going to ask you to please stand by for Tracy Schultz. He's going to tell you what's new on his show, What's New. In the meantime, enjoy The Mirror Size from Murder on the Gates. And I will see you next week when I look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Try to get a grip, and soon you're staring at the ceiling in a blank room without feeling, and the walls and things I like, they've seen a ghost. It's just some kind of